You could hear them singing out, "Jesus paid it all." And that is such an important thing to remember, is that you did absolutely nothing for your salvation. He did it all for you. And we need to be reminded of that time and time again. Well, I'm continuing to talk dirty to you, and just a reminder of all the dirty words I've used, and I'm about to run out for a while, but I talked about surrender, and that's a dirty word to many believers, the total giving up of your life, your everything to Him. We talked about sin. We like to change it and say, well, it's not really sin, and it's just, but it's sin. I talked about the word repent. You can't be saved if you don't repent. I've talked about the word serve. I've talked about the word give. I've talked about the word baptism, small groups, witness, contentment, love, forgive. Obey was last week. So what in the world am I going to talk to you this morning about? Well, this morning I want to talk to you about lordship. And I call this the missing ingredient. And I call it the missing ingredient because so many believers in Christ are missing this part. Let me just give you my story. My story was I grew up at First Baptist Church, Denison, Texas. Dr. Henry Garber was our pastor. I was there from the time I was in the cradle till the time I got to be in high school. And I remember distinctly in the fourth grade hearing Dr. Garber in Vacation Bible School talk about how much Christ loved me and how He died for me and how He was resurrected from the dead for my sins and I had forgiveness. And the next important thing I was supposed to do was to get baptized, the B word. And I did that. And I did the things you were supposed to do. I went to church, occasionally read my Bible, and thought I'd met all the requirements. And in my mind as a kid, there were the super spiritual people. They were the ones who went that second mile, and you called them pastors or staff or Sunday school teachers or whatever you wanted to call them. They were the super spiritual. And I knew I was saved, and I truly trusted Christ as a kid at First Baptist Denison. But because I didn't understand this word until I was in college, my life was a mess, even though I was saved. I would do sin, and I would feel incredibly guilty, and I would ask God to forgive me. But I never understood this word lordship, that when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I heard the Savior part, but I didn't hear the Lord part. And the thing I want you to understand, that the thing that changed my life more than anything else as a believer in Christ was not church attendance or teaching a Bible study or preaching. What changed my life more than anything else as a believer in Christ was when He became my Lord, He became my Master, and I had a relationship with Him. And that took place in college. And you say, "Bill, why didn't you do it before then?" And the truth was, I didn't know. All I heard every Sunday was get saved, and I got saved. And I've gone back and forth because I never want to take away from the truth that you're only saved by placing your faith in what Christ did for you. But I also want to come back and say to you, there's so much more than that. And I did not discover that until I was at college at Baylor University. And as a result, my high school years were up and down. Now, last week I talked about obey, and obey is very important. And I even understood as a kid that I was supposed to obey Him. It's just you sometimes didn't keep count, and I somehow didn't take it very seriously. But this morning, the thing I'm going to talk to you about can literally, it may be a bad word in your mouth at first, but it will literally change the way you live. And I'm much more concerned with how you live than what you know. Because you can know a whole lot and not live right. And a verse that I ran into at Baylor University in my Ryrie Study Bible, if you've ever had a Ryrie Study Bible in the New American Standard Version, that kind of literally changed my life is this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It's not on the screen. It says this, "He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that," now get this, here it is, "so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." That little verse 18 changed the way I saw the world I lived in. Jesus did not want to be first place on Sundays. Jesus didn't want to be first place when I read my Bible. Jesus wanted to be first place in everything that I did. Everything. Whether you're a pastor or just a lay person, Jesus Christ never saved you to have a part of you. He saved you to have all of you. The word Lord means master, ruler, leader, captain, boss. And so if you're a believer and you prayed that prayer like me, did you understand that you were asking him to be your Lord, your boss, your master? I found this quote. I don't know this guy. His name's Swimmer. S.M. Swimmer said this, "And unless Jesus is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all." Unless Jesus is Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I thought, wow, that's tough stuff. So let's look at how to make this practical. First thing I want you to know this about lordship, it should begin when you start to follow him. Now, again, most of you go back to the time that you heard the gospel, prayed the prayer, and that's important. And it is important. But did you not understand in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to the crowd, and he says this, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me." This thing called lordship should begin the very day you accept Christ. I just didn't know that. If you're a kid that went to camp and you made a decision at camp, I want you to be sure that you understand that you at that moment were supposed to say, "Not my life, but your life, Lord. Not my will, but your will, Lord." Because that is what it means. I love what he says. If you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You see, one of the hard things for church people to understand is God really doesn't care about what you care about. People say, "Well, I don't like that. I don't like that." Jesus said, "Give up your own way." Then he says, "Take up your cross." You talk about commitment. He says, "Be willing to die." And then he says, "Follow me." Lordship is following him. It's no longer your way. It's his way. Now, another picture of that from another New Testament verse is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I love this picture it paints of what it means to follow him. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, as your boss." Again, I know you might have been presented Jesus as your Savior, but did you realize he was your boss? He says, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, listen to what he says. You must continue to follow him. If you're in high school, if you're in grade school, and you're a believer, who are you following? If you're an adult, who are you following? Salvation, lordship, is about who you follow. He says, follow him. And then he says, let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. What are you building your life on? There is nothing else besides Jesus Christ. That is where your roots have to be. It's not in what you think or what you've read. It's about Jesus Christ. He says, then your faith will be strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, I want us to understand, if you want to be blessed by God, and I do not mean financially, I'm talking about blessed. And blessed is not something you can add up and calculate. But if you want to be blessed by God, and you could have absolutely nothing and be poor, and you can say, I'm blessed because God blesses you. If you want to be blessed, it's not going to be because you said some prayer and got dunked somewhere. It's going to be because you follow him, because you believe that he did that for you. Are you following? Who are you following? Who's given you your ideas, your cues for life? If you're not going down into him, if you don't have a daily relationship with him, what do you have a relationship with? I think the greatest concern I have for Christians in general, and I try when kids come forward to help them understand, hey, it's not about the baptism and even the believing. That's important. It's about the following. It's about living for him. It's about dwelling in him. And if you have him, you have enough. So it should begin when you start to follow him. I don't know where you are this morning in following him, but that's a good question to ask yourself. Are you following him? Second thing. The second thing is, I love this part, it also scares the honky out of me. Lordship gives you stability. Lordship gives you stability. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This sometimes keeps me up at night because I worry about people not getting it. In verse 21, it says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That ought to get your attention. Not everybody that prays a prayer is getting into heaven just because they prayed a prayer. I'm not against the prayer. Let it be said. But just because you say a prayer or walk down to the front or fill out a card or get baptized, it means nothing. It means nothing if there's not that belief behind it. Because look what he says. This is the part that gets me. Only those who actually believe? No. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. There's that implication that if you're saved, you're saved for a purpose. And the purpose is not your purpose, it's his purpose. What about those people who claim to have accepted Christ as a kid and live like the devil till the day they die? I don't know. Only God will judge that and know. But let me tell you what. According to Scripture, one of the things we ought to be concerned about is who we're living for. Look what he says after that. On judgment day, many people will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed miracles in your name. You know, at the judgment day, they're going to be Baptists saying, well, I read the King James Version. I got baptized. I went to church every Sunday. I filled out a card. I prayed the prayer, Lord. And he's going to look at some and he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, what is he talking about? And this is so crucial. Salvation is not about doing religious things. Salvation is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love that. I never knew you. You say, well, I know about God. A lot of people do. But that doesn't mean that you know him. I know who the president is, but I don't know him. And so it's more than religion. It's more than, it is a relationship. And if you don't have the relationship, that's the problem. It's the thing that's going to save me is that relationship, that belief that he died for me, he rose from the dead for me. That's what is going to save me. It's that relationship. He says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. But look at the stability. If you do get it, it's good. In verse 24, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock. If you build your life on Christ, you will have storms. You will have problems. You will have difficulties. But here's the difference. You will survive. Why? Because your foundation is not Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever you want a label put on it. It's because your foundation is Jesus Christ. And you can withstand any storm in life if you have the right foundation. It gives stability. Religion does not give stability, but Jesus gives stability. And he goes on to say this. He says, but anyone who hears my teaching, I don't care how well you can teach if you can't obey. Because he says, anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds on sand when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. You know, all the knowledge in the world, and I'm convinced in churches we're educated way above our obedience. All the knowledge in the world is worthless if you don't obey it. And he goes on to say that you're just like a house that is hit by the rain and the wind, and you crumble because you don't have the foundation. So the truth is, it gives you stability, and that's a good thing to know. But the third thing about lordship is it should change the way you live. Look at 2 Peter. I love 2 Peter because most of us think that to live a spiritual life is beyond our reach and our grasp. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. In other words, to live for Christ, God says, I'll give you the power. You can't blame me. He says, I give you his divine power to be godly, to be godlike. But in verse 5, he gives you and I some work to do. Look what he says in verse 5. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. That word moral excellence is literally in the Greek the word good. And you know, here's how this is supposed to be. You'll look at somebody and you'll say, that's a good person. What you mean is they're a good person. They do good things. They're solid. So just being a believer and having faith is not enough. He says, I want you to have moral excellence. I want you to be a good person. And then he says, moral excellence, you need to add knowledge. You need to always be learning more about him, and you need to add to knowledge self-control. And self-control, you need to add patient endurance. Christians are the ones who survive through the hard times. Because why? They have patient endurance. And with patient endurance, godliness, and with godliness, brotherly affection, and with brotherly affection, with love for everyone. In other words, you got to be loving more. You ought to be good. You need to be patient. You need to be enduring. That is the picture of a person who's under the lordship of Christ. They're growing. Because he says in verse 8, listen to what he says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you change, not the more you know, the more you change, the more productive you become. And then look what he says. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted or blinded, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. You know what happens so many times is I hear Christians struggle with whether they're saved or not, and usually without exception, it goes back to the fact they're not living for him. When I doubted my salvation the most is when I didn't live for him. And you begin to be short-sighted, because why? Christ died for you to change you, to make you better, not worse. And so it's important to understand change is part of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. One of my first verses I memorized after John 3:16. Everybody got John 3:16 down? And then I memorized 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new life has begun. There ought to be change. If there's no change in your life, you're probably not living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You're probably doubting your salvation. You probably feel unworthy. Here's the truth. Everybody in this room is unworthy. The only reason I'm worthy is because a man named Jesus died for me. It's the only reason you're worthy. It should change the way you live. But has it? What difference? What sets you apart from everyone else? I mean, think about it. I don't kill anybody. Well, it's everything. Do you have a Christ-like attitude? Does your lifestyle reflect that you're different? You're not saved by that. But if you're under his lordship, he's the boss. He's calling the shots. A verse that ought to scare us is Titus. Verse 16. Chapter 1, Titus 1, 16. He's talking about people that they were struggling with, and he says, such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. Does your life deny him? You see, lordship should change the direction of your life. And here's the final thing. Whether you're a family of one or a family of many, it gives your family direction. Who is directing your family today? Who calls the shots? Who is the director of your family? Well, If you're under the Lord, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting Him, it would be Him that is the one who's calling the shots. And I love this story. It's in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And you know, we've always struggled with idols as believers, haven't we? I mean, we all struggle with idols. We just all have different idols. I could get on deer hunters, but I'm not. Because you're here. They're not here to get on. I always was against what other people did, not against what I did. That's the way we kind of are. You know, I could complain about other sports, but never complained about tennis. Because, you know, it's my sport. And so we're always going to struggle with our idols. And you say, Bill, what are idols? I'll tell you, it can be your family. It can be your recreation. It can be your friends. It can be your job. It can be anything. An idol is anything that comes between you and Jesus. And so they were having a hard time, and Joshua, the Jewish people had always had a hard time who they're going to serve. And here's the truth, you're serving somebody. The scary part is who. And in verse 15 he says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods and your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or it will be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. And then he gives the challenge that he took. See, I can only take it for my family. I can't take it for your family. But look what Joshua said. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's lordship. Your family, man, I'm so glad I'm not a parent now. I'm a grandparent. It's a lot easier to be a grandparent. Boy, I as a grandparent, I try to help my parents out. But, hey, the most important thing you can know is if you don't know who's Lord of your family, it's probably not the right person. Who is Lord of your family? Who decides what you do on Sundays? You know, we serve the Lord. Who makes those decisions? You see, this thing about Jesus as the boss and the master and the Lord. When I was at Baylor, Grant Taft had a little speech he used to give that was incorrect, but it was God first, family second, church third, and work. That's the biggest impossibility of the world anyway. But it's not biblical, because here's the thing. It's God first at work. It's God first in your marriage. It's God first in your family. It's God first in your job. It's God first in your recreation. It's God. God never wants second. He wants to be Lord and master of your life. And I'm telling you, out of all the things that I learned in my walk with Christ, and it was good when I experienced His forgiveness, but when I started letting Him run my life started running better. Problem was, for a long period of time, I ran things and it didn't do too good. So the question is, who's running your life? Will you let Him run it? It's either yes or no. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word, and I thank You for this dirty word, because this dirty word was the best dirty word I ever learned. That when I learned to see the world through Your eyes and not my eyes, it was so much better. Lord, it's so much better to know that I don't have to make decisions. I just simply have to listen to You. And then I have to choose to follow. Father, one of the greatest needs everyone in this room needs is stability. And that stability can only be found in Jesus. And He's enough. So Lord, I ask that You would help us to heed this teaching, and that if we ever missed it, all we have to do is start over today. And Father, I pray that we would live in your Lordship, for it's in Jesus' name.